Welcome to the 4 Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 18th of September, recording at 9:31 p.m., and that's still British summertime. Now, a quick look at the highlights here today. Following yesterday's sell-off in most markets, we had Asian stock markets down just a wee bit, China perhaps a bit more. China A shares, that is. The European stock markets, which have been on such a roll in recent weeks, saw a pause here today, including a downward dynamic for the Spanish market, which is down 2.39%. Most of the other declines, well, all the other declines were smaller, just a couple of them over 1%, and that includes Spain, France, and the Euro stock average of 50 leading companies. Now, in the Americas, we had a quiet day overall, ending with slight declines, although Wall Street narrowed losses towards the close, and the Dow actually closed up 11 points. Long-dated government bond prices were slightly higher here following their sell-off of recent weeks. Again, the U.S. dollar was slightly firmer as well. Most of that occurred against the euro, which fell back to 1.3046. In precious metals, we had some real seesaw activity here today, quite a wide range. Well, I don't want to exaggerate. $1.10 for silver, which had fallen as low as 34 and closed the day, though, at 34.84. So lots of touring and froing here during the day, but that was up, well up on the day. Gold was also higher, trading up nearly $10 after hours. That's at 17.71 and change. Platinum and palladium, however, were weaker, going down and mostly staying down on news that the lawnmen strike has been settled and that workers will return on the 20th. Now, elsewhere, industrial metals were mixed, copper pretty much unchanged. And crude oil fell again today. That had that sharp decline towards the close yesterday, and the Brent is down just below the 112 level. It's down another dollar, as is WTI. Has fallen back to 95.44 as I speak. And agricultural commodities mostly weaker, including the grain and bean complex, which had a big decline yesterday. I think only cotton and coffee were a little bit higher here today. So, what's going on here overall? Well, stock markets, having been on a roll really since early June, are still overextended, but they remain firm overall. There certainly has been good news in terms of monetary policy and, to a lesser extent, fiscal policy. It's mainly monetary policy, it must be said. China had that fiscal policy announcement, and China remains a serial underperformer, and this is a concern for, I think, overall in terms of its influence on markets and the importance of China generally. Now, China's valuations are really as attractive as they've been for a couple of decades at least, as you probably realize, and I'm posting those charts again today. What we also know is that the decennial power handover is about to take place, but China lacks the strong hand of Deng Xiaoping, who really appointed people previously and looking another 10 years ahead in guiding also the current leaders to power. But China is showing some edginess in here for sure in its policies, and my guess is that there's definitely some infighting and jockeying, intense lobbying going on among the people who wish to rise to the top. And the disappearance from the public eye of Xi Jinping was really amateurishly handled, spawning all kinds of rumors which continue here still today, although he was reported to have resurfaced. And what we've also seen, which we sometimes get another unpleasant side of authoritarian regimes, is that they encourage or fan xenophobism when they're under pressure to detract or distract people, rather, from what's going on in the political arena. So we've had the increased aggression on the so-called Spratlys in the South China Sea and also in the East China Sea. And in particular, we've seen the aggressive stance towards Japan, which has led to riots and some property destruction among companies in China. Reportedly to have ranged across approximately 100 different cities. So this is a bit disconcerting, given China's importance as the world's second largest economy. And having seen that index fall back to retrace most of the good rally that we saw on the 7th of September, it's in need of another upward dynamic. I think a recovery is certainly justified by valuations, but not all the uncertainty and erratic behavior that we're seeing on the political front right now, which may actually delay that power handover, which was supposed to occur next month, but we haven't been given any kind of final date for that yet. But needless to say, if China were to rally, that would help to underpin stock markets not only in Asia but elsewhere where they've seen such good gains, and it would also breathe additional life into the mining share recovery, which we've seen in recent weeks, and that would certainly be important for a number of subscribers who have interests in that sector, as do I. So, interesting times. Now, the Wall Street scene has been awfully steady, as you know, ever since we got that first upward dynamic that we commented on back in the beginning of June, and then the progression of higher reaction lows, and that's continued through to today. We did get some speed up in the S&P rally, a little bit of acceleration there, just before and after the QE3 announcement. And that often suggests a longer pause and reaction, although it's steady here so far this week. Really, levels to look for. Here we've got the S&P closing at 1459 today, 1459 and change. Now, it would have to go below 1434 just to take out the low of the day when the QE3 was announced. But it would really have to fall back to around 1395 to break the last reaction low, which was really formed, wasn't so much of a reaction as a sideways trading range for approximately 3 weeks. But we've got some breathing space between current levels and those levels, and I would continue to give the upside the benefit of the doubt until we see some clearer action of deterioration. That's certainly going to occur at some stage, but I don't want to preempt it, as has been our policy all along in recent months. And again, the overall environment, I think, really remains favorable for equities, particularly where valuations are not overextended, particularly for multinational companies, particularly for high yielders. And when I say the background factors are not that not unfavorable, I'm not talking about the economic activity, of course, but we don't buy the economy, we buy equities. And while we have seen a slowdown in corporate profits overall, they are still growing for the most part, at least among the sectors that we actually like. And monetary policy, which really rules in our view, but that's by far the most important indicator of all, and Fuller Money has long maintained that, it doesn't get much more positive than with the massive QE stimulus that we have from the Fed and also the European Central Bank, and with China stepping up its stimulus, although the last announcement was mainly of fiscal policy expenditure. But that's good news, too, overall. Now, when I say those are very favorable developments, I'm as concerned as many of you about the longer-term implications of all this QE, and I think it will end in problems of an inflationary sort, but it'll take a while for all of that to kick in. So far, mainly what we've seen is commodity price inflation. That's quite important for households, particularly poorer households, and particularly in some of the developing economies where such a high proportion of household budgets goes towards food prices. And weather has also been a factor there, it must be said. But we do not see across the boards inflationary pressures anything like what we saw in the 1970s, and that's because we're still unwinding this credit crisis recession, and that always takes time, as we know. On average, 5 to 7 years, and what are we? We're just into early stages of year four. Okay, what about the U.S. dollar here? I think with all that QE, it's quite apparent that the Fed wants to keep the dollar soft, and therefore I think it would really require a global fright of the sort that's not immediately on the horizon here right now. In other words, I can't guess what that, or I won't attempt to guess what that might be, but it would take something that really did spook investors to cause the dollar to be regarded as a temporary safe haven once again, and I wouldn't be betting on that anytime soon. That creates a favorable environment for at least the futures prices of these precious metals overall. Now, platinum had romped, as you know, on that very unfortunate and tragic strike action that we saw in South Africa. And that dragged palladium up as well, because those are the two metals that are mainly used or that have a big industrial demand in terms of catalytic converters for automobiles and trucks. It dragged them quite higher. They were overextended. We got up to all those resistance levels for platinum, 1700, for palladium, 700, but also for gold, up pretty close to the 1800 level, and for silver up to the $35 level. It was a brilliant 4 weeks up until the end of last week, so it would hardly be surprising if we saw a few weeks of reaction and consolidation, but gold and silver remain the firmest overall. And anybody who thinks seriously about this QE that I was talking about a moment ago will realize that if that affects any market over the longer term, it should be to push gold and silver prices higher, almost ahead of any other market. So it looks almost certain that we will see gold end the year higher for the 12th consecutive year and counting. So I don't look for more than a few weeks consolidation at most, followed by a resumption of the recovery, and I expect prices to be higher across the boards for precious metals by year end. It would be healthier if they consolidated sooner, right around now, rather than later. Of course, I have a vested interest in saying that, because having lightened or stepped aside from all my positions, I had a number of them, except for I've still got most of my gold position protected within the money stops. I wouldn't mind seeing the others steady and give us some sort of pattern that looked like a loss of downside momentum, corrected the overbought condition as a favorable entry point. But we'll see. And you and I can only deal with what the markets provide. But I wanted to be long prior to the run, the powerful run that we've just seen in precious metals. And I certainly wish to be an active participant in the next run. I think it's going to be just another terrific money-making opportunity. Now, grains and beans, encouraging evidence that the food price inflation is not going to get any worse than we've already seen this year. I hesitate a little bit when I say that because I know about the crop damage, but some recent news, the rains have picked up in both the U.S. Midwest and Great Plains areas, although it seems a bit late for that to have much of a difference, much of an influence on the crop, but at least it would keep the soil from blowing away, and topsoil. And we've also had moisture in South America, and that would be good, even though we're not yet in there. In their planting season for the next round of crops. And on that note, all the best to all of you.